Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 124, part 2. I'm your host, Emmanuel Vincent, and yes, this is a follow-up to part 1, which I released on Saturday afternoon, evening. This is a continuation of that episode, and in this portion, chopping up with the homie Daniel Daly, who's a regular on this pod. We just talked about the NBA Finals and what we've seen transpire this far on both sides with the Heat and Nuggets, and just talked about what we think will happen in Game 5 tonight, and other things as well. But we can get into it right now. Here it is. My man, what's up?
Nothing much, man. What's going on, man?
Just chilling. Got back to my man's cookout. Well, my man at my barbershop, he like cooks out right in front on Sundays and sells plates and everything. And sells like food as well. So yeah, I was there all.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's a good way to spend the day.
Somebody came by to sell like their own homemade drinks. I'm nice as shit right now. It's crazy. I got faded.
Little moonshine.
it was like fruit punch with like Tito's and shit, or like no fruit punch with Bacardi. I'm fucking nice
shit. You're settled.
I'm wilding. I got work tomorrow morning, but whatever. I work for the crypto. How's everything going to do?
It's going all right, man. I just chilled today. Got some stuff done around the house and shit. So.
Oh no, work.
I worked earlier this morning, let me just stay up and get some shit done. And then after yesterday, after oversleeping, I was like, shit, nah. So let me stay up at least.
Nah, I feel you. Well, man, I appreciate you for coming on. We're basically 4 games into this NBA Finals. We haven't talked since it started. If you had a headline for this NBA Finals, what would it be as we have already had 4 games played so far?
The Denver Nuggets finally earned their respect. They've been battling, of course, since the bubble. No one thought the bubble was anything. They made the Western Conference Finals, and then they turn around. Obviously, have the injuries to Michael Porter Jr., Jamal Murray. Joker's carrying the team on his back last year. And then you come into this season, and it's kind of like, well, where are the Nuggets in the state of the Western Conference, right? Everyone's talking about the Lakers, the Clippers, the Grizzlies. Even towards the regular season, as we got towards the end of it, we're talking about every other team except for the number one seed in the conference, right? So, you know, you're talking about the Kings and their epic rise. You're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies before the whole Ja Morant altercations, the situation and stuff like that. People are talking about the Lakers, the Clippers, the Kevin Durant trade with the Suns. And everyone kind of ignored the Denver Nuggets. And you can't ignore them anymore. They're on the final stage, and they're playing really well right now. And I think they're taking that respect rather than earning it. They're taking it.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is just like San Antonio Spurs all over again. They got a low-maintenance superstar, don't have a lot of national games, but they play basketball the right way. Just team-oriented, ball movement, man movement. Good coaching on the sidelines. And they've been basically flying under the radar because if you're a casual fan, it's like, who the hell are the Denver Nuggets? Like, what have they done thus far? But if you're a true basketball fan like you and me, you've known the work they put in all season, that they didn't have their second best player the last 2 postseasons. And who did they lose to? They lost to the Phoenix Suns in 2021 and then the Golden State Warriors in 2022. Both of those teams went on to go to the Western Conference Finals, and the Warriors won the chip last year. So now they got the second best player, along with Michael Porter Jr. He's not really, even though he's not playing good this far. You can make a case he's probably the third best player on the team. Now they're on the verge of catching the first championship in franchise history.
Yeah, man. Like as we talked about, I think it was Brian. I was listening to the Hoop Collective. Brian Windhorst said it was hard to find Denver Nuggets games, even when you're in town. So I don't know if there's like the TV situation there or whatever the case may be. But, yeah, a lot of people don't know about the Denver Nuggets. And as you kind of put similarities between them and the Spurs, where the low maintenance superstar. But this is a different type of superstar, right? Like, this is more of a playmaking, more than a Tim Duncan, right? Tim Duncan wasn't a playmaker. He was inside, post-player defense, no nonsense. Joker is a guy that you watch and you know where he is on the floor at all times, right? Like, you, your eyes gravitate towards him. And if anybody who's watching this finals isn't seeing that, then they really aren't basketball fans. Like, this guy's doing everything on a high level, scoring the basketball, playmaking. His playmaking is at – I've always said this, and people have killed me for saying this – at Jason Kidd, Magic Johnson type levels, where you're literally getting every single person involved, even off the bench, involved in making an impact, right? Like, he has an impact making full court passes, just pushing the ball in transition, hitting guys who cut, always hitting the guys, always making sure literally every teammate's involved, regardless of what the defense is trying to do to take him out of the game. He's going to make sure these guys get in the best position to score. You can really see that with the two-man game with him and Murray. This is just – it's just a different level that we're watching. And we were – in my opinion, we were supposed to have a different team here as a matchup. But we got the Miami Heat. So, but we're just seeing the Denver Nuggets on full display, and they're really just riding the high right now.
Absolutely, then to take the full advantage of getting to this big stage, they're not like taking it for granted one bit. Quick question: so you talked about this isn't the right team that's supposed to be facing the Denver Nuggets. As a Celtic fan, is it like, how does it feel seeing the likes of, you know, Caleb Martin, Gabe Vincent, Max Juice really like do a complete 180 from what they were in the Eastern Conference Finals? No, I'm really serious. I want to know.
Like, I was avoiding people. Like, this is something that I'm just like, I'm watching the finals and I'm enjoying the finals because I respect both these teams, right? Like, Miami did what they were supposed to do. They beat the Bucks, they beat the Knicks, they beat us, the Celtics. They did what they needed to do, right, to get there, right? So, all respect to them. The Denver Nuggets, I respect the hell out of the Joker, Jamal Murray. I like Mike Malone since he was in Sacramento as a head coach. But as a Celtics fan, seeing Max Strus not hit a shot, seeing Caleb Martin not get minutes, it's infuriating. It is simply infuriating because it's like, yo, like, these dudes in Denver, like, I think people don't talk about their defense enough. They do have defensive guys. That's why they went out and got guys like Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, KCP, guys of that nature. Like, their defense is there. But the fact that the Miami Heat are missing open shots like this, where they hit literally, it felt like they hit literally every shot against the Boston Celtics. Contested, open, it did not matter. They were hitting every last shot off the dribble, pick and roll, pick and pop, whatever the case may be. They were hitting everything. To see them just falter out like this in the NBA Finals, it's like, oh, you guys finally decide to look like an 8 seed. Like, all those guys that were undrafted, it's like, okay, you guys finally – you maxed out, right? Like, and at some point, we were all kind of just waiting for them to kind of max out. But they're just facing a team right now that's not making any mistakes right now. The Denver Nuggets aren't making any mistakes against the Miami Heat.
Yeah, because, like, the previous thing that they faced on this run to the finals, like, they weren't as nearly as disciplined as Denver, and Denver has superior talent. Certainly at the top, you can debate overall, but certainly at the top, they have the superior talent. And they don't make nearly and they play essentially flawless basketball in clutch situations when the game matters the most. And they think they can advantage right now. Question: what going into the series? What was your prediction for the series? How many games? I said I didn't put it on the paw, but I said I want to go with Denver in five, but I respect Miami. I'm going to say Denver in six. I'm curious, what would your prediction?
I said Nuggets in six because I thought Miami was gonna. They got the game two win, so I was like, okay, they got one. I thought they were going to win one in Miami. They didn't. So I thought it was going to be Denver in six, just because I thought, especially with Spoelstra, I thought he was just going to junk up the game enough to make it competitive, give Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo a chance. But over the course of the series, just seeing the shooting has kind of fallen off, and I think that's the one thing that I looked at. If Miami was going to have any type of chance, it was like they were going to have to knock down shots, and the fact that they aren't is potentially looking like a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think that we all saw that Miami had to, like, be consistent from three and shoot it at a high clips to have a chance of really winning the series, and they haven't done that this far. I mean, just think about how demoralizing it is for Miami or a Heat fan. Game four that took place on Friday, Joker nor Jamal Murray really had a – they didn't play bad, but they didn't have a great game. But they were impactful in other ways than they traditionally are. But you still lose because Aaron Gordon, Bruce Brown went off. Like you try to take away the two top guys, and you essentially did that to your best abilities, but you still lost and lost by double digits at that at home, and you failed to score 100 points yet again in these finals.
Yeah, that's the tough thing about it, right? They only got over the hump in game two with 100 points there. But just in general, I was kind of waiting for Aaron Gordon, probably all playoffs. I was like, he's going to have a game somewhere, right? Like, especially I always thought when he got signed, when he got acquired, I thought that he was going to be a big addition, especially for the joke on the defensive end. But I'm like, this is the opportunity for him to take that next step as a third guy for this team, right? Like, Michael Porter Jr. is there. He's coming off a back injury. I'm like, this is a time for Aaron Gordon really to step up and get in that situation. And he came out and imposed his will on the Miami Heat, even knocking down a couple threes. And as you said, Bruce Brown, of course, towards the end of the fourth quarter, really took over and knocked down that dagger three that we all saw late, putting on for Dorchester. but, yeah, just in general, just the ability to have other guys step up, and that's what they needed, especially with Joker and Murray having a little off games there. Those guys really stepped up and were the difference. And that's the difference right now, is that the Denver Nuggets are getting contributions from other players. Like, you got Christian Brown the other night in game, was it three? And then you have Bruce Brown, you have Aaron Gordon coming in here. So that's the difference right now, where you knew Joker and Jamal Murray were going to step up, have that have their offensive game going. It was just, you're just wondering who else was going to step up for them to really just put them over the top. And Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon have done that.
Absolutely. The others have definitely shined on this final series. It's crazy what they've done. I think it's going to be over on Monday night. I think the Larry O'Brien trophy will be hoisted in Denver for the first time in franchise history. I can't see a realistic way that Miami's going to win this series. Certainly not. I don't think they're going to win tomorrow night. And if they were to miraculously win, I don't see how they're going to come back from a 3-1 deficit. I mean, we only have one team that did that, and that was the 2016 Cavs. They don't have this. They don't. But again, they had arguably the best player in the world in many people's minds, with a great Robin and Kyrie. They don't have that in Miami, nothing remotely close. So I can't imagine them coming back.
And those guys are battling, right? Like Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler, they're trying to navigate this, find some type of consistency throughout this series. And it's just like, I just don't see it. Unless Denver just wants to end the season in Miami, you know what I mean? Like, you know, go to the strip.
Go to live?
Yeah, go to live, 44 the club, whatever's down there, like, and just really just end it there. But I don't see them passing up this opportunity here in Denver. I don't see them passing it up.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, question. Jamal Murray, right? This is kind of like a coming out party for him in these playoffs. We know last time people saw him on this stage, well, in the postseason at least, was when he went off in the bubble, when he got the nickname Bubble Murray. Some people, kind of feels like that's kind of like a disservice to him, because he feels like, you know, he's like that all the time. What are your thoughts on Jamal Murray so far in these playoffs, particularly these finals? And do you think he's a top 5 point guard in the league? Just curious.
Top 5 point guard in the league? You kind of have to go with him, right? Like, if he's going to be in that pedestal, because you got Curry, you got Dame. I'm trying to think around. Those are the two that stand out to me. I don't think Chris Paul's in that realm right now, just because of injuries, age. Kyrie is always going to be in discussion if he plays or not. I guess you can call Harden a point guard. I always think of him as a shooting guard because he scores usually, but he's been a point on his point guard stuff and since he's been in Philly. I think he's in that range, because you can't really look around the league and say, hey, that point guard right now is better than him. It's kind of hard. You think of Curry, you think of Dame because of their pedigree, but right now, Jamal Murray, he's entered that conversation where he has to be talked in those – he has to be in those rooms, right, in those conversation talks. Like, the way he's playing and scoring the basketball, shooting the basketball. I thought he had a really nice game three after a rusty game two, getting to the basket, initiating himself into the game. I would have to think about it and rank where my point guards are, but I think he's up there. I can't – the way he's playing, it's hard to argue.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure he's top five, but, I mean, he's definitely up there, like you said. And prime example of why I like him so much, of what I see this far in these playoffs, particularly finals. Great evidence is game four on Friday, where he really didn't have it going on offense because then when Bynum was making a concerted effort to, like, take the ball out of his hand, don't let him beat you, don't let him and Joker go off, live with one or the other, and you're going to live with the, you know, live with the point guard, so you're trying to trap him, hard trap him, get physical with him. But he wasn't being rattled, and he wasn't really forcing the issue, but instead trying to make the right plays. And we saw that after Joker got that ridiculous foul he picked up, his fifth foul. That was just bogus. Whatever, he got that foul. Jamal Murray was doing a good job of being a facilitator, finding on the likes of Bruce Brown and Jeff Green for threes. You know, that had to, like, keep the Nuggets afloat while Joker was on the bench with his fifth foul until he came back in the game. And I know that people are going to, like, I feel like when the Nuggets, well, I think Nuggets are going to win. So when the Nuggets win the championship, I just have a feeling that this stat is going to be brought up, that Nikola Jokic is the first player to win a championship with no other all-star on his team outside of Dirk Nowitzki, since Dirk Nowitzki in 2011, right? But I can promise you, Jamal Murray is better than anybody else not named Dirk Nowitzki on that 2011 team. Like, he's not an all-star. He hasn't been an all-star yet. He's really an all-star. I mean, he plays in the Western Conference, so you got the likes of, like, Dame, Steph, Ja, De'Aaron Fox that you got to battle against. He's really an all-star. Let's be real.
He's in that category where it was that time, like, where Dame wasn't an all-star, but he had those couple times when he wasn't an all-star, and he's like, yo, I'm not an all-star? And it's like, it's not that you're not an all-star. You're just not those elite guys as yet. But you can play on the level of those guys, and of course Dame entered that stratosphere with his scoring and clutch shots and stuff like that. So Jamal Murray's definitely he's definitely All Star worthy. We're not going to sit here and act like he's not All Star. But when you name off John Morant, De'Aaron Fox, Steph Curry in your conference, you know it's tough. You know there's only so many spots there. They're both playing. It's just a level of team play, right? Because you're getting contributions from Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, even though KCP and Michael Porter Jr. aren't playing too well this series. In other rounds, they were able to contribute and produce. So it's just a real overall team effort, and that's the one thing I feel like a lot of people have been talking about with this Denver Nuggets team is the team effort, the unselfishness of Joker, the unselfishness of Jamal Murray, the persistence, the synergy between all of them. It's really just paying off.
Yeah. Absolutely. I wanted to touch on the Miami Heat, right? I just feel like this is further proof that your effort can only take you so far. When your talent matches out, that's a problem. And I think that was what we see in Chase Brown in these finals. They just don't have enough talent. And that is my knock on that franchise for the past several seasons. As of, like, why don't elite players want to play in Miami for some reason? Like, why aren't they attracting, like, big names? Like LeBron. Well, I mean, like, think about it. Great weather, no state income tax, a great organization, one of the all-time great coaches, one of the all-time great executives. They have everything you would want as a franchise player that should attract me to that franchise. But for some reason, they haven't really done that. And then you have, like, Jimmy Butler playing out of his world. But at the same time, is he really a superstar? I don't want to go that far and say he is. Great player, probably will be a Hall of Famer. Bam Adebayo, undersized, but he works hard. Mm-hmm. He's an all-star caliber player. He puts forth the effort every day, every game. But these guys just feel like they just maxed out and reached their ceiling, and they got further than they probably should have gotten.
This is kind of like how that Brooklyn Nets team in 2000 19 when they had all those guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and D'Angelo Russell and Jared Dudley. So they had all those guys that were working well together, and that attracted other guys to come to them. That's how they got Kyrie, Kevin Durant, James Harden. That's how eventually that worked. You think that would happen with Miami, right? Because look at the production. Even if you're not a big-time free agent, if you're a mid-type of free agent, because Caleb Martin signed there for 4 years, $30 million, right? The way that he was able to be used by Spoelstra and be put in positions to be effective, especially against the Celtics, unfortunately, like, that should make any player around the league be like, hey, I want to go play there, especially if you're a guy that's trying to prove yourself. I'm just going to throw out a guy like Peyton Pritchard. If Peyton Pritchard went to Miami, you know, like, just think about his ability to play, make, and score and shoot and stuff like that. That hasn't really been on this display because Boston's rotation. Could he go there and have a productive career or regenerate his career? Other guys like that. But the reason why people don't want to go there is heat culture. that's not for everybody, man. Like, Jimmy Butler has a couple screws loose to go down there. PJ Tucker has a couple screws to go down loose to go down there. Kyle Lowry has a couple screws loose to want to be traded there, right? But in terms of all that off-season conditioning that they do, 0% body fat and all this other stuff. I remember Jermaine O'Neal had his interview, and he was like, I had to sit there and decide if I wanted to have an Oreo at night.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, it's not that extreme. I forgot what interview it was, but, of course, it's not that extreme. But he was just putting on display how much their conditioning is and how tough it is. That's not for everybody. So if I'm a free agent, I've said it before. Like I'm like, just keep them. They're always in play for a free agent. I was like, if Giannis went there eventually at some point in time, whatever's happening in Milwaukee right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Giannis went to Miami. Like he works hard all the time, right? Like he wants to put in the work and put in the effort. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to Miami. But if you look at the past couple type of free agents, James Harden is not doing 0% body fat. Like Kyrie Irving is not doing off-season conditioning like that and showing up every day like that and doing that grueling micromanaging that the Miami Heat do in their way, right? So I guess that's why. But, again, as you said, no state income tax, warm weather, the beach. It's close to Texas. You can get to Las Vegas. Like, you can fly anywhere now. These are athletes. They can get anywhere. But – yeah, you figure Miami will be a hotspot, and it just hasn't really been outside of the Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Chris Bosh era. And it's like, why? Why aren't they getting multiple guys? But to speak to the talent, just the development of those guys, like Gabe Vincent's going to make a bag. Duncan Robinson kind of revitalized himself a little bit after making a bag. Caleb Martin, Max Strus, and unfortunately in this series he fell off. But at some point, they're going to get somebody, I feel like. And they're always circling the water. Pat Riley is always monitoring things. They have one of the best coaches in the NBA. But it's going to take a guy to want to go there, such a, I think, Giannis-type, caliber-type player, to be like, yo, I want to go to Miami. I think that's what it's going to take.
Absolutely. I agree. And, heat culture is not for everybody. I always thought to myself, too, like, why? It's kind of crazy. Why don't you ever hear about any wild stories about it? Miami Heat players getting in trouble out there. I mean, so many temptations on Miami. And you know why? Pat Riley got eyes everywhere out there. They got eyes everywhere in Miami, for sure. So even though we think that this series will be over after Monday night, if the Miami Heat are to win, what do you think is the key for them to extend the series and have the scene move back to South Beach?
They got to knock down shots. I looked over the past two games, and they were 19 for 60 from three-point range. That's 31%. That's not going to get it done. Especially, I think, the last game there, Denver shot 14 from 28 from three. That's 50%. So you really have – the only real way they have to have a chance in this series is to make shots. I don't know if it's going to be Max Strus, Caleb Martin, Kyle Lowry, Gabe Vincent. I know he had that ankle injury, I think, in game three. But whatever the case, the only chance they really have to have is knock down shots and then have position themselves, gunk up the game enough to have Jimmy Butler and Bam take over and lead them through game five, right? And like then that's and of course Jimmy and Bam are going to have to set the tone and on the road you follow your stars and they kind of guide you through those waters and that's what they really need. They need those other guys to step up like they did in other rounds and knock down some shots. But we'll see if they can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they definitely got to hit three-point shots. Probably shoot hover around 43-45% to realistically have a chance to win the series. And and then they got to like you know duplicate the same effort they gave on the glass in game three because they did they were plus three on the boards after game four. So they got to do that. And Jimmy's got to be. I mean, it might be too much to ask for him. It may be unfair. But he's got to be aggressive from beginning to end on the offensive end. Look to be aggressive. He's done a good job when he got that switch, getting Aaron Gordon off him. And then what was the matchup with him, whether it's Joker or KCP or Murray, he's really, for the most part of the series, had his way in those matchups. They favored him. So I think he's got to be more aggressive. Look to score or look to get to the basket, draw contact, get free throws, you know, make it easy for himself to open up his game.
He has to have that game five against LA in the finals, right? Like, he has to have that 41-point all out gassed at the end of the game to have a chance there to get Miami another game, right? To get them another opportunity. And I think I do agree with that. Like, he has to really lead them through this whatever muster up, whatever video Spoelstra is going to show, or Pat Riley is going to dunk his head in water, like whatever tricks Miami has, they're going to have to pull out all the stops for them to bring it back to Miami. And Denver, as you always say, the, people talk about the altitude and stuff like that. It's a tough place to play. So for them to actually win, like if they win game five, it's like, no moral victories or anything, but that speaks to the we know Miami's going to give it all they got, but it just speaks to the pedigree of Miami if they are able to do that. Like that's insane, especially against Denver as hard as they are at home, only losing one game at home, but that one loss came against Miami, so it's not impossible, but it's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah, I forgot the fact that now the altitude again. Yeah, I think the series is over tomorrow night. I can't really see Miami getting blown out like from beginning to end. I think they're going to be competitive. They got too much heart. I think it's embedded in their DNA, Heat culture, to be aggressive and to be like competitive in game. But I just don't see them really winning this game. They just don't have enough, man. And I kind of feel bad for them.
It's tough. It's tough, man. Like you're really outmatched on every level. Like in the size difference is really mattering, which I thought would have been an advantage for the Celtics. I thought that would have been an advantage for the Celtics.
Definitely. Well, here's my thing. I don't think the Celtics would have I think the Nuggets would have beat whoever they played. Celtics or the Heat rather. But Boston does have more favorable matchups. Like they have Horford, Joker, with the help of Robert Williams playing being off ball defender, that can do wonders for them. I think having Robert Williams kind of leaving like AD in the Western Conference Finals, that free safety position. And obviously they got length with Tatum and Brown, so they have enough length. Whereas Miami just doesn't have the length, they don't have the size, the girth to like the matchup with you guys.
Yeah, like I just don't think. Like, I just don't – like, that's the one thing. Like, when Jimmy Butler was able to beat up on Malcolm Brogdon, Derek White, guys of that size, Aaron Gordon's nearly 7 feet, 250 pounds, athletic as hell. So I can understand why Jimmy's having a little bit of a harder time in the series with a guy like that on him, right? Like, that's the one thing that I notice about this whole series is that size difference. Like, it's noticeable. Like, that's the one thing. And Denver's imposing their will. Like, Joker isn't, like, the most physically dominating player, but against Bam Adebayo, against Kevin Love, against these other guys like that, he's just going to back you down and just be active on the glass. Aaron Gordon's an athletic guy. He's going to be active on the glass. Michael Porter Jr., is 6'9". KCP is 6'6". Jamal Murray is a physical guard. Like they're not small at all. Like in terms of size on the court. So it's definitely a different dynamic that Miami has to deal with. And as well as their efficiently, as well as their offense is running, that size matters on that end too. So it's tough for Miami. It's tough.
Absolutely. Hey, question. Before we get out of here, Nikola Jokic, have you found a new profound respect for him during these playoffs, particularly in these NBA finals, that you didn't have necessarily before?
No, I always had respect for him because I think people try to downplay his MVPs, and especially this year with all the controversy around that and people saying he shouldn't win a third MVP, whatever the case may be. Of course, they played I think Joel didn't deserve it because he played – better down the stretch more than Joker and then the Denver Nuggets. But if you watch him on a night-to-night basis, this is a guy that's a center, 7 feet, pushing the pace. This guy is hitting cutters from the high post, facilitating an offense, kind of like a central hub, scoring, passing, rebounding, battling on defense. Like, if you don't respect him after this, he defeated Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert in the first round. Whatever you think about them, that is a three-time defensive player of the year. Those are 2 7-footers. Kevin Durant, the Suns series, it is what it is. They were injured. They were hurt. they probably would. I believe they would have beat them anyway. The Lakers, Anthony Davis was healthy. He was playing. He's one of the best defenders in the world. One of the best players in the world. Destroyed him. whatever people want to say, he destroyed him. Like
he did.
The step back threes, and Anthony Davis just shaking his head because it's like, there's literally nothing I can do against this guy. I'm playing him up. I'm playing physical. I'm back. I'm giving him shots. I'm trying to do everything in my power to stop him, and I can't. And that's no knock on Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis played well. He tried to defend him. And even when you try to defend him, the playmaking ability, the aspect of that, is that's a threat. Like, usually big men aren't creating playmaking opportunities like that. So anybody who's watching him and not entertained by Joker, I'm just like, okay, you just don't like basketball then. Like, because this guy is doing literally everything. I think there was a shot chart Kirk Goldsberry posted. Like, he's efficient as hell in the paint. He's shooting the three ball well. Like, he's doing everything over the course of the season. I was more impressed last season when he had Frank Capazzo and Monte Morris and guys like that, and navigating that to a above 500 record. This guy's the real deal, and I think it's time people start respecting him because he's playing the game the right way, and he's about to be an NBA champion. Like, if you don't respect him now, two MVPs, most likely a Finals MVP, most likely an NBA champion. I don't know what else he has to do. You know?
Yeah, man. I mean, I think you hit it right on the head, then, man. This guy is just—he's a joy to watch. Again, if you're a casual basketball fan, you can appreciate what you're seeing on a night-to-night basis from this guy. I feel bad for you because he's just brilliant. I always say to myself, when people say like, who has the highest? Like, I say people say like LeBron has the highest IQ in basketball history. I'm just an example because that's what I heard recently. I'm saying to myself, mm-hmm. like, how do you measure that? No, is he up there? Is he short on the list? Absolutely. But there's several players I can think that you can make a case for, like a Mike or CP3, Kobe, Jason Kidd. This guy, Nikola Jokic, will be in that conversation when his career is all said and done. He will be in who has the highest basketball IQ of all time. Because what he does is just brilliant. Like, I feel like he just sees things a second and a half, 2 seconds before they transpire. He just sees it on offense. Brilliant, masterful. Knows how to hit people right on the spot of the dome and put the ball where nobody else can get it.
Mm-hmm. Like they say, like, he's a quarterback leading the receiver and stuff like that with his passes. But that's what great players do. So, like, when people talk about this IQ thing and stuff like that, I'm just like, all great players have great IQ. Like, you heard – LeBron, we heard him rattle off, like, 10 plays in a row in a press conference. Michael Jordan's ability to beat double teams and get to the split, know he has to shoot this jumper right away. Kobe Bryant with his footwork, his way to dissect the game. John Stockton, his ability to play, make it, just run on offense, like – Magic Johnson, like those guys who are elite-level players, elite-level playmakers, in the name of Joker and Magic and Kidd and guys like that, like, I just feel like that's just greatness, right? Like, that when people say IQ, it isn't like we're talking about, like, no offense to him, like a Ricky Davis, right? We're not talking about guys like that or a J.R. Smith in terms of guys who just take bad shots and stuff like that, totally disrupt your offense potentially with their performances. Like, great players' IQs are high. That's why they're great. they're able to beat other players with using their mind. Like, as physical and as athletic as LeBron was as over his career, his IQ was always there. He was always able to make the pass. He was always able to beat the double team. So there's other things. There's other levels to that where I feel like people just say IQ and then just kind of try to put a lid on things. And it's like, there's a lot of guys with a high-level IQ. A lot of guys. Mm-hmm. And Joker is one of those. He's definitely in that conversation. That, like, the way he's breaking down the game and killing everybody, it's like he's at the peak of his powers right now. We're seeing it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's scary. Like, I think he got at least a solid 5-7 more years of this elite play to carry on.
And that's the thing. He's not a physically imposing, relies on his athleticism. Like, his athleticism's already gone, right? So his touch is always going to be there. His playmaking is always going to be there. So this is a different element that we're seeing in terms of what we're used to seeing, in terms of, like, Magic, where his scoring went down, or Matt or Michael, when his athleticism went down, he went to his post game, he got stronger and stuff like that. LeBron, we're seeing right now with the athleticism kind of falling off there. He's not able to do certain things. Joker has never had that athleticism. So it's like, what's going to fall off the touch on his shot? Like, I don't know. Like, we haven't seen this.
Facts. This is scary for the league. I think the Nuggets, with as long as they have him and Murray, they will be contenders for the next couple of seasons. Yes, come.
Yep, they're definitely going to be in the conversation.
Facts. But all right, man. That's all I wanted to do. Are you working on a pod coming up?
Yeah. So most likely, as we both believe that the finals will be over on Monday, I'm just starting on some off season stuff. Chris Paul, of course. I heard you talk about him on that free agency and stuff like that. Looking at some other stuff and kind of like throwback stories, because I watched this series, Bomani Jones Bulldozed, and he kind of just goes through these teams that Michael Jordan played over the course of his career and just kind of dissects it a little bit better than, well, kind of stuff that I've been arguing a lot about Michael Jordan in that era and stuff like that. So I'm just going to do a couple of reaction videos to that. But yeah, definitely talking about free agency and what's potentially happening. Of course, the Celtics made some assistant coaching hire, so that's a good sign in Boston. So I'm definitely going to touch more on that and just get ready for the offseason, man, because basketball does not stop.
Yeah, man. Damn, yeah. This is about to be the worst time of the year. No basketball, no football on TV. But this gives me a good time to catch up on wrestling, because I'm really out the loop of what's going on. Between both promotions, WWE, AEW, I have no idea what's going on. It's just like, what the hell? But I have plenty of time soon to catch up on all of it.
WWE is getting interesting. It's definitely getting interesting, especially with the Bloodline and new belts coming in, changing of the belts. So it's definitely going to be interesting. Definitely a lot of stuff going on. AEW, the guys that Ring takes with kind of keep me up to date on that. So I'm trying to get back into that, especially with AEW Collision, seeing how that's going to turn out as well.
Oh, yeah. That's premiering next Saturday.
Yep.
All right. Well, good stuff, my man. We'll talk soon. I appreciate you coming on this pod, holding me down. We'll talk internally soon.
Yep. No problem, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir, guy. Take care.
All right, man. How's it going?
You too.
And that is it for this episode. Thank you guys for checking this episode out and for your continued support as well. If you're new to this pod, hopefully you enjoyed this, and also hopefully you'll stick around. Salute to the homie Daniel Daly as well for coming on this episode. Much appreciated. Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. This podcast is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more platforms, of course. You can keep up with me as well if you like. Instagram and Twitter at MrVincent13. And you can like my Facebook fan page as well, Emmanuel Vincent. So that's it for now. Enjoy the game tonight. I'll be back soon. Till next time. Take care.